Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Thou hast spoken to us in the gospel of Thy great grace in Him, that Thou art willing to forgive and willing to deliver, willing to cleanse, willing to keep forever those who come unto Thee through Him. We thank Thee for it. And we pray Thee, Father, as we study, that Thou wilt, by Thy Holy Spirit, take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and show them unto us. For His name's sake we ask it. Amen. In our study now in the Gospel according to Matthew, we are coming to the end of chapter 24. There's been so much in this chapter that we have touched upon that we could not possibly explain in every detail. I'm sure you have felt, as you've been listening to my own comments upon it, that there would be places where I would have the feeling that I couldn't be real sure I could tell you what this specific thing meant or that specific thing meant. That's true. And yet I hope you got the impression as you were listening that we knew what it meant nevertheless. Let me put it to you this way. The details of the events as they will occur, we may not be able to picture. But the events, they became very clear to us that the Lord is coming. And He's coming in a way that will bring an end to things. It'll be called the end of the world. But even when I have said that, we have to admit right away that so far as we're concerned, there is amongst us considerable uncertainty as to just what is meant by the coming of the Lord. How will we understand it? But one thing I will tell you, it does mean. It means the end of this world affairs. It's the end of the world. It means that when He is coming, things here will come to a sudden end, so far as that's concerned. There's much that we do not know about this whole 24th chapter of Matthew, but there are some things we cannot miss. We can feel that our Lord is solemnly announcing that life here is temporary, and it's not going on forever. It's not going to go on this world everlasting fashion. There is a time limit. It's going to be over and done with. There will come a day when it is proper to say will be the end. Life began here in this world, and it'll end here in this world. Now, you know, that's true for each individual. And apparently, the Scriptures would give us to understand it's true about mankind as a whole. Now, let me go back over that again. You know, so far as you and I are concerned, after all, that's one bit of living you and I know about. That's the part that I'm doing, the part that you're doing. Now, you know, it started, and it's going to come to an end. It's going to stop. We're not going to be down here forever. It started, and we're living, and it's coming to an end. It'll stop. Now, what we are claiming here is that the Scriptures would imply that so far as all mankind is concerned, He started, is now living, and He'll come to a stop. So far as the whole creation is concerned, God made the heavens and the earth, holds them up by His hand by His and the word of His power, but there is a time limit on it. It'll come to an end, apparently is the teaching. There will be a time coming when it is over and done with. And, so far as we're concerned, we're also to have this in mind, that when this world is through, and everything's here is done, that's not the end of God's plan. That's not the end of God. And that speaks to my heart to say that when my life is through, and I'm through with my life as it is, that's not the end of things, that's not my end. And this becomes clear to us in this last passage that we have in the 24th chapter. Beginning at verse 42, we're going to see that there is something spoken to us in the light of all these things. There is a very urgent and earnest admonition that we be ready for His unexpected coming. Because He's coming, and coming in such an hour as you think not. Now, may I remind you again, I do not know for sure I could insist that I know what His coming will be like. I'm not sure about that. The Scriptures will talk to me about that. But I do know one thing, that His coming means the end of this world for me. That's one thing for sure. It's related to that. It'll be the end of this world. And now he is speaking to me to say that since the end of things is coming for me, it's very important that I should be expecting it. In verse 42 we read, "You know not what hour your Lord doth come." Now what this expression, "doth come," means, again I repeat to you, may be open to some question. It may mean that his coming, in a sense where he ends everything by coming in the clouds of heaven and in great glory, in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not God, that would certainly be his coming. And again, it could mean that his coming would be when he comes to come into our hearts and to take over so far as you and I are concerned. That's not any less important. That's just as important when he comes into our hearts to take over. Or it might be that his coming refers to our end of the day, so far as you and I are concerned. We don't know for sure when he's coming back, but we can know fairly sure when we're going. I can remember some years ago, when I was just learning these things and starting out, I had the great privilege of having as my father-in-law a man who was very well acquainted with Scripture and was deeply and profoundly able to interpret so many, many things in Scripture. And one time I asked him, with reference to the coming of the Lord, what seemed to be a good line of thought for us to have about that. And I remember he said this to me, "The coming of the Lord, so far as his own personal appearance is concerned, and coming for the end of the world, is, of course, indefinite. Nobody knows when. Nobody knows the day or the hour. And," he said, "it's conceivable that it might be in 100 years, might be in 1,000 years. We have no idea how long that will be. It's already been close to 2,000 years and might easily be that much time longer. But," he said to me, "you know, after all," he said, "if the Lord Jesus were to return, all that would happen would be that you'd see him. As far as you're concerned, he'd just be coming for you." Well, he said, "you know, he may not come back to this earth for 1,000 years, but you're going to see him long before then." And then while I was looking at him, he pointed out to me, he said, "if you have any uncertainty as to how long you'll be here, you might go to some life insurance agency and ask them what the chances are. They can tell you. And you can find out that while the Lord might not come back for 100, 500, 1,000 years, you're going to see him a whole lot sooner than that. And it'll be just as real." And as I was thinking about that, he pressed this upon my heart. He said, "you know, you're going to see him. You can be almost sure when that's going to be. It's within a certain limit of time. It's just as real as if he set up his kingdom in the heaven, in new heavens and new earth." And, he said, "it'd be a good thing to have that in mind. So while you may not know when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back so far as this whole world is concerned, you can know that for yourself, that although you do not know what a day will bring forth, you can pretty well find out there's a limit beyond which you're not likely to be down here in this world." And he said that everything that has to say about being ready to go and ready for the coming of the Lord will be meaningful in this connection. He used to remind me that the Old Testament scriptures in the Psalms we read, "teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." And he made me feel that it was spiritually a healthy thing to keep in mind that any day you and I might stand before the Lord. You might stand before the Lord. I might stand before the Lord. "Watch therefore," we read in verse 42, "for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." And then he goes on to argue about that. "Know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." In other words, he means to say that if you and I have in mind the Lord might come at any time, it will be a natural thing for us to be ready for him. And that's the way he is speaking about. "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh." One thing is true about his coming. It'll be unannounced, and to a certain extent, it'll be unexpected. "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them their meat in due season, prepare their food on time," that kind of thing. "Blessed is that servant whom when his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods." In other words, the Lord Jesus takes note as to whether or not we are conscious of the fact that we might see him at any time. And if he were to come in, and when he does come, he will notice the people who are going about their work just in a regular way. And the way to do that is, every day as you work, have in mind he may come. Every week as you make your plans, have in mind he may come. And if you need to have that practical so that you won't get it so, you may say, well, I just don't know for sure about his coming. I don't know what to expect and so on. Remember what I told you. You may not know what to expect about his coming, but you can have a pretty good idea to expect about your going, because it will be soon enough, and you can keep that in mind. And here is the thing that is said. For me to live in this world as if I were going to be down here forever is foolish, and I'm just a foolish person. In fact, I'm an evil person. But if I will act as though he were coming any time, I'll be a faithful and a wise servant. And verse 48 says, but if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Lord Jesus doesn't hesitate to make it most important and most solemn so far as you and I are concerned. We are to live our lives and to do our work day by day as though we were ready to meet the Lord any time, because that's good for us. There isn't anything wherein we're so inclined to get slack and lax and to let things run to pieces is when we think we've got lots of time. There's no particular hurry. And when, as long as we're like that, we're in danger of neglecting things. But if we expected the Lord to come any time, we would be more likely to have things kept up as they should. And that's what he wants us to do. Our God and Heavenly Father, we pray thy blessing upon our hearts, so that as we live in this world, we may be conscious of this truth, that we might be brought into thy presence at any time. Help us in our study to recognize these things and to have in mind that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back and that he is coming for us, and for those who trust in him, he will come with mercy and grace to receive them unto himself. Help us for thy name's sake, we ask it. Amen.